going down, I like hit like the thing, and then Perry like tried to get up and like tried to hit me, and I just like fucking like I just like held him like right there as my head was like fucking open, bleeding over my face.
Did you have to get stitches?
I had to get staples in my head. I had eight. Oh my staples. God,
this
yeah.
is when you had to get because yeah. you fought Perry.
I didn't fight Perry, I just put him on the ground and hit my head in the same motion.
What did you hit your head on?
It was like bricks that went up about like a foot and a half, and then it was the wrought iron gate, and I hit my head on the bricks.
Oh my God, you crazy. Guys are crazy.
Don't fuck around with me, I don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about, you can add flags. Oh my gosh, this is so dope. So today we're going to be, I guess we should introduce ourselves first. Hi, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Christian.
And welcome to The Crime Couple. So today we are doing an emergency episode because Christian
remembered that I interacted with, on a somewhat personal level, with a serial. No, not a serial killer. He's a spree killer.
No,
but
he's a serial killer.
Oh, because there's time in between, right? Mm-hmm, yeah, so yeah, I was in very close proximity to a serial killer and.
Not that we're acting like fans, we're just like, this is scary, you know what I mean?
It's just like, you know, it's just one of those weird, like, synchronicities, like, all those people who, like, were in the towers on 9/11, but, like, left, you know, like, all those people have that story where they're like, oh my God, I was so close.
Or have you heard about all those people who are like, oh, I was 3 minutes late, and that's why I didn't get to work, because my shoe was untied.
Seth MacFarlane on 9/11, he was late to his flight, and that flight was the one that went into the tower.
So was Mark Wahlberg.
And what's his face from The League lied about it, remember? The comedian, he like lied about being in the towers on 9/11. The League, it's like a show about fantasy football. One of the comedians that he was in the towers and then left that day and like lied about the whole experience or something along those lines.
He pretended he was there?
Exactly, and he got called out years later for it, and he had like it was the comedy show where they roast each other, and he lost the episode he went against because the person just kept going in on him, like, lying about 9/11, like, blah, blah, blah. How do you go home and, like... I mean, it's just, like, kind of like stolen valor, like, those people that, you know, pretend to be in the military. You know, it's the same kind of thing. They're clout chasing. Clout is deadly. It's the same thing, you know? Old people just didn't know what clout was. They just did it, you know?
Yeah. No, you're totally right. But, like I was saying, we're not, like, fangirling. We're just kind of... It's kind of crazy that you were interacted with this guy.
I mean, I feel blessed I got the fuck out of there, because even where his killings, like, took place, like, I reffed flag football games there. I drove through there all the time, have friends that lived there. Like,
So what I did, there is obviously lots of shootings in this one. So what I did was I made a map of all of the places that he shot, because there were places that he shot at and he missed their car. And then all the places that he actually gunned down people, and it is all within such a close range. It is terrifying. It's almost like Son of Sam. Have you heard of that one?
No.
He's in Mindhunter season 2. He's the one, the short guy. He wears like a lot of makeup. It doesn't look like he wears a lot of makeup, but I think in Mindhunter, it looks like the actor is wearing a lot of makeup.
I think I know who you're talking about. That the one that gets pissed off with him and they don't really get
into it. He pretends that he got direction from the demon dog.
Oh, yes. I know exactly who you're talking about.
So what he does is he goes and New York City was so scared. People cut their hair because he was targeting people that had like brown hair or something. I can't remember. Couples or something like that. And he would just shoot. He would just randomly shoot and he would kill people. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. We'll have to do an episode on him, like maybe a bonus episode, a Patreon episode. But it's interesting then Mindhunter that he's like, all right, yeah, it's all bullshit. Anyways, so let's get going with Sean. Actually, we did have a couple of things we wanted to address prior to the episode. So I will put a link or a note on the episode notes of when our actual episode starts. But I know we wanted to address the reviews.
Oh, yeah. We've had some people both in my and Nicole's personal life, and then another podcast has had some of their fans come and leave nasty reviews on our podcast, which we appreciate the attention and that we're on your mind so often. It really, from the bottom of my heart, I hope you hear this, you sack of shit. But thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to do something for me. I appreciate it. I love you, and all of your negative... all of your negative energy is just going to be so useful.
Okay, no. So, yes, we did have some people in our personal lives come in, like, try to do bad reviews. However, we had this glitch where we had two podcasts on Apple Podcasts. So luckily, we were able to delete one of them, which had a lot of the negative reviews. There are still some negative reviews on the one that we have now, which is a bummer. But, you know, people can like us or dislike us.
Right.
If you do like us, go leave us a review or rate us. It would mean a lot to us, especially if you left a review on the other one and we had to delete it. I really have no idea how that happened. I'm so happy it's fixed, though. It literally took me so long. I had to reach out to Apple. I had to reach out to Anchor. I had to reach out to so many people to get it fixed. It took a couple days. But the other thing is, we do have, so we are obviously the crime couple, and there is another podcast out there called True Crime Couple. And obviously we don't have any ill will towards them or anything like that, but we do kind of want to know our listeners' feedback on your thoughts, just because they did reach out, and I don't, you know, at first it didn't seem like anything was wrong, but now it kind of seems like it upsets them. And like Christian said, we are getting reviews from their fans saying, oh, this sucks, like, this isn't the real one, which obviously is very hurtful. Like, you know, I would never try to tear down another podcast, but Christian and I are kind of considering looking into other name options, so we kind of wanted to know what your guys' thoughts were. Should we change it? Do you like the Crime Couple? I mean, it does suck. We have our website and all our social media and stuff like that, so let us know your thoughts. And we are going to get going on the episode with Sean Barrett. So I wanted to give some background before Christian talks about his experience, because I thought it was interesting. So he graduated from John Curtis Christian High School in 2014, which is in Louisiana.
Yeah. And it's a football powerhouse. If it's one of those schools where even if you're a backup, you might get a Division I offer. It's one of those, like,
coaches,
quote-unquote, from Dan Henderson, cream their pants over John Curtis recruits.
Interesting. That's gross. So Sean went to three different colleges to play football, which is so freaking bizarre. He went to...
It's actually not that strange in football nowadays.
Really?
Yeah. I mean... Okay. Well, for his specific situation, he, like, really wasn't good at football. His dad has a lot of money and a lot of influence and would get him what's called a preferred walk-on spot. So basically you were the gentleman who would hold the bag during practice, or you'd be one of those guys who was trying your very hardest to make the actual team, but it essentially is like a free labor spot. So his dad, with his connections, would get, and because he went to that specific high school, got him preferred walk-on spots at three different schools. But the school in which he and I both, not at the same time, but both played football for, he got kicked the fuck out because he was not very good. And as we can see, his mental stability wasn't there. And as Antonio Brown has shown us, people will put up with your mental instability if you can play football well.
Well, it's weird because when I was doing the maps, they like put the address of like his parents' house, like the block. And I looked at it and none of the houses were that nice. So it's interesting that he has a lot of money.
They're from, like, I know the house is in Louisiana, but they're from, like, Mississippi. They're not from Louisiana.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what, per the stories, because this guy, see, here's the thing that really shook me was, like, people had told stories about how weird this dude was, like, years before any of this shit happened. Like, I think you had sent me the picture of this, like, when it had happened back in June, like, oh my god, it was so close to you, and I was like, oh yeah, like, so people had told me, like, just all these weird stories about him, and my friend Daniel had reached out to me a couple days ago, like, yo, do you, like, and he's like, yo, do you remember the guy I told you stories about, and I was like, yep, I 100% remember. He's like, yo, this is the guy, and I had, like, doubled back to what you had sent me, like.
I think it was Harrison that sent you the originally.
No, it was you. It was really? You. I remember you had sent it to me because you were like, yo, this is in Louisiana. It was so close to you. And I was like, yeah, people are crazy out there. I mean, doesn't surprise me.
Damn. Did they say anything specific as to, like, why he was so bizarre or, like, what he did? He only got kicked off the team just because he wasn't good enough, not because of anything else?
From what I was told, he was just weird and he wasn't, like, good enough to, like,
be that weird.
To warrant that weirdness. Okay, like,
okay, so he went to Mississippi State, but left to South Alabama in 2016, and he had to sit out at South Alabama once you transfer. So then he left for Southeastern in February 2017 before ever playing. So then he got kicked out, I am assuming before you got there, right?
Yeah, because I got recruited, like, I played in the fall of 2017, so when I signed my national letter of intent was, right at that point, like, January, February. So he was there. He was with me on my recruiting visit, like, when I went for my official visit, and that's, like, the physical encounter that I have with him. But then, obviously, I've heard the stories, because he enrolled, so he, like... When you go on your visit and you commit, like, I was still at my previous school for a whole nother semester until that summer, and I had enrolled at Southeastern. So I had met him. He had stayed. I had went back to California. Gotcha. And then when I had rejoined the team, I had heard all, they're like, yo, you remember this guy? Like, and then that's when.
Okay. So he is accused of murdering 4 people and trying to murder 3 others. And then this is where it gets really interesting. So I found an article, and I'll post all the sources, obviously, everywhere. But late August through November of 2018, and Sean's 22. So he was allegedly harassing an ex-football teammate on Facebook. And they have the teammate that he was harassing shared the screenshots. But I don't believe that the police have confirmed whether or not they're genuine, like if they've actually come from him. But some of the screenshots, they said... Quote, I watch your every move, and quote, just kill me now, so help me on my last breath. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for what you love. Terrifying.
Wow. I'm shook. That is...
I'm coming for what you love? That's so scary.
Yeah, that is, I mean, I love all my teammates, but if you say some off-the-wall shit like that, you're gonna turn... Don't say that stuff.
So, December 5th, 2018 is the first time that he was committed to a mental health hospital, and he went to the ER and reported that he shot himself in the hand with a 9mm pistol accidentally while sleeping.
I've done that before. I'm kidding. It's the South, everyone. There's guns everywhere. You got your kitchen gun. You got your bathroom gun. You got
sleeping gun.
What's the Kevin Hart thing? He's like, oh, you've broken into my house. Ha, let me just reach into my Kleenex board. Ha, got my gun.
I literally was like, how the fuck do you accidentally shoot yourself while sleeping? It's like...
dudes that go into the ER with their wife, like, yeah, she fell down the stairs and blacked her eye out. Like,
she hit the door handle?
Repeatedly.
Yeah, so obviously they knew he was lying, because something must have happened where he actually got committed to the mental hospital, because, yeah, like, you know.
This is not our first rodeo.
Mm-hmm. They're like, bro, no. So April 16th, 6 months, not even 6 months later, his aunt calls the coroner's office. Why the coroner's office? Why not 911?
Maybe all the, like, city numbers, they're, like, one number off, and she dismissed. And it's like, coroner, corrections.
I see. I don't know, though. Why not just 911? Because she's reporting that her nephew, Sean, is rocking back and forth outside the house with a cross on his head, a Catholic pendant in his mouth, and he's screaming in a strange voice that he's the devil.
I just had that. This is just the setup. This is always the setup for shit like this. Like,
that was so... That's scary. That's scary as fuck.
Yeah, he's obviously, like... Beyond the fact, we'll post all the videos. Dude got a full neck tattoo, like... That's why I told Harrison, we were joking in chat, I was like, I'm definitely not down for profiling people, but if you have a neck or face tattoo, you should be a person of interest in, like, most cases. like, just look up, okay, there's 3 dudes with face tattoos in the area. Like, 1, 2, 3, person of interest. Like,
that's fucking hilarious. Yeah, that's scary as fuck. And Harrison is another teammate of yours that was also there, right?
Yeah, so Harrison was probably my best friend out there my first year that I had played there, because he ended up transferring to another school. But that first Thanksgiving while I was out there, I didn't go home for Thanksgiving just because it was so recent in the season, ended like a week before. So I'd went with Harrison to his house in Houston, and I'd spent probably like a week there, and it was honestly one of the best, like, vacations I've ever had. His family, it's so funny that, like, there's a couple of friends that have parents that remind you of your own parents, and, like, his mom, like, is my mom if she was a blonde lady, like, born in the South. Like, I love their home. You can, like, it's so weird. Like, they bought the same windows. Like, the same, like, windows from Wilshire. Like, in the same doors. Like, it's just funny how, like, I think they're similar. And then I went to his house and I was like, yo, why the fuck are your handles so familiar? And then I, like, opened the door and I was like, yo, you bought it from the same people. It's the same collection.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so now we're getting to his actual crimes. And these are all alleged. He has not been convicted yet.
But don't hold your breath. He did this shit.
I mean, they said that he... Okay, I'm just going to go into the crimes. So, June 5th, he shot at a man named Marcus while he was driving on the 10 freeway. And the scariest part, he was interviewed. He wasn't even aiming for Marcus. He was aiming to get his car to break down. He was shooting low. Wheels. Yeah. Which I don't... I think it's scarier because I think he was trying to slow him down so he could have a better shot at him.
Yeah, I think he was trying to gun him down, demobilize him, and then...
Which is scary because then you fucking know what you're trying to do. Like, I feel like that shows that he, obviously he wasn't mentally out there, but he knew what he was trying to do. He was trying to.
He was a man on a mission. Mm-hmm. Like, he was trying to, and it wasn't like a mission that was like, oh, I'm going to do this and this. It was like, I'm going to hurt and try to kill as many people as possible on this stretch of highway.
Well, so he misses that guy, or you know, it hits his car, but it doesn't hit him, and. He starts shooting at a couple on the 10 freeway and runs them off the road, and he misses them too. So June 5th is his first time trying, but he misses everyone and he doesn't get anything going. And then the next day, he apparently changes his MO because he's like, okay, I can't get anyone while they're driving. I have to get someone while they're like outside, you know? So he guns down 61-year-old Bruce Reed, who was walking to a friend's house down the street in East New Orleans. And that was on Hayne Boulevard and Marquis Street. And it was so sad because obviously I read all of the interviews with their families, you know. And he was such a family man. He had 3 kids. He had grandkids. And he was, like, known as the guy who took care of the street. Like, his neighbors would come to him for, like, handiwork. And they were all, he would always keep watch of the kids while they were playing because he was always, like, out working.
He's a sweet old man.
Yeah. So sad. So sad. So that was his first victim. That was June 6th. And that's in East New Orleans. And then the rest of the crimes happen June 17th and June 18th.
So almost 2 weeks later.
Exactly. Which was this is the key difference that makes him a serial killer versus a spree killer. Mm-hmm. Because
he obviously had like a 2 rough weeks at work and he had to like clock in or something. Like, it just seems so strange that he would like have this 2 days of like rage, stop for 12. I really want to know what happened in those 12 days, like, mm-hmm. What?
Well, because they were able to link him to multiple shootings because they matched the ballistics, the bullets and stuff. Oh my gosh, I can hear Ty freaking out over there.
You think after enough times of us doing this, he wouldn't, like...
Right? You would think, but no. He wants to keep making a scene. Anyways... that is a very good point. I would be curious to know what happens in those 12 days too, because some...
Are there more murders? Was he logged up somewhere? Does his family... Because here's the thing, was when he was arrested, like, he was with his family. Like, I wonder how much his family really knew.
I was reading the articles. They said his family was not involved in it. They don't have any reason to believe his family was involved in it. And they did release a statement saying, like, we're so sorry for this tragedy. Like, we can't even imagine what you're going through. However...
Did they, like, know something was up? Maybe they, like, kept a close eye on him for the 12 days? You know, like, I have a hard time believing they had, like, no clue if it went on for this long.
Well, and he was using his dad's car.
Right.
So, I don't know. Next suspected shooting was Monday, June 17th. Sorry. 11 days later, June 17th, he shot at a woman driving, but again missed. And that was in Oaklawn Drive. And the rest of his shootings, the victims are not lucky. They all die. So his second murder, Monday, June 17th, around 11 p.m., 22-year-old Issei Caldazzo. And that was in West West Metairie and Henry Landry Avenue?
Yeah.
So, a few hours after that, he shoots again, and I guess he does miss on this one. So, his next suspected shooting was a few hours after the first murder with no fatalities. And then, he must go home. He's like, okay, I'm done. And goes and sleeps, whatever. And then he comes back again Tuesday, the next day, around 4 p.m., so not even 24 hours later, and he pulls up next to a car that's stopped and guns down two guys, Manuel Caronia, who's 45, and Nikki Robo, who's 57. And that was in West Metairie and North Starrett. So Nikki was on his way to pick up car parts to help fix his daughter's car. He had three daughters and six grandchildren and had just watched his younger daughter graduate. Yeah, this one is even sadder. Nikki was in the car with Manuel, who he had 13 kids, and his wife had just died in a car crash a few years earlier. So now all 13 of his kids, his and his wife's kids, have no family or no parents. Yeah, super sad. And that's three murders in 24 hours within a mile and a half of each other. That's how close they are. It's so scary.
I feel like the police are both acting, like, quick and slow on this. Because, like, he gets, like, arrested pretty quickly. But, like, it's still, like, he's in this short area, like, doing all this shit. Like, how are they not?
Well, I guess he was already on a watch list because...
The Facebook post to his teammate, like...
I don't know about that, but they were already watching him, so they hide out in the 300 block of Trefney Avenue, and I also labeled this in the map, so you'll see where his parents' house is, and then compared to his, he literally just had to, like, drive down the fucking street.
I also read that a reason they were able to have him as a person of interest was they found his cell phone near.
Yes, yes, on the first murder, he left his fucking cell phone.
Right. It's, like, in, like, a storm... It's in, like a drain, like a storm drain, like, right across the street.
Which is, like, that kind of freaks me out a little bit because it's like, if he did... It's so bizarre because he takes the time between those 11 days between his murders. But the first time he does the murder, he fucking leaves his phone. Like, obviously, you have to be so out of your mind to be like, oh, I'm just not gonna bring my phone back. Like...
Right, or being scared to be like, I need to toss my phone. But, like,
I mean, toss it in a fucking garbage can or something. Like, something right. Not next to the fucking victim, you know? Not
be like, oop, wipe my hands and toss it on the way out.
Yeah. Like, what the... Like, you know, that's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up, babe. Love it when you research with me. So, that is the reason why he was on the watch list. And then he comes home, and the SWAT team comes and arrests him. And they find... the Smith & Wesson 40 caliber gun in the car, and they found the phone. So that was Tuesday night, June 18th. That was right after he murdered the two guys. And the weird thing is that all of his victims were minorities, except for one who was commonly mistaken for a minority.
So until we get more information, it seems racially motivated.
Well, the police in, I think it's Jefferson County?
Yeah.
Jefferson Parish or whatever, they said that they don't think it's racially motivated because he was just firing indiscriminately. Mm-hmm. But, at the same time, it's kind of lucky that basically all his victims were minorities.
And, I mean, from someone who's lived in Louisiana, I mean, a couple of those names do sound somewhat Hispanic, and... very dime a dozen Hispanics in Southeast Louisiana.
That's a good point, babe. Wow, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, so I don't know. He hasn't been put on trial yet. He was denied bail.
I imagine. I don't hope it's racially motivated, but I hope when they go through his stuff, they find some sort of reason or cause, because it just there's so obviously he was mentally deranged. The whole cross in the mouth shit. Mm-hmm. But like, what was your motive? What happened in the 12 days, what was your motivation, and how much did your family know? Like, it's just with how involved his family was in his life, that's why it seems to me so strange that they had no clue. And had I'm not saying they were involved, but just to, like, you had him committed twice total
in the past 6 months,
had him committed twice in the past 6 months, and he's leaving with your husband's car at weird hours in the night
on a Monday and Tuesday.
To some degree, their parents are responsible. First of all, they raised a murderer. Second of all, there's just so much going on that should have been called out.
I'm curious to know what his childhood was like. because I'm wondering if he had any signs as a child. And I'm also curious to know, like you said, his family issues, what was going on with his family. Maybe there was something personal going on. But at the same time, the commitments to the mental hospital make me think it was mental related. But another good point is that this is rare. Mentally ill people rarely hurt other people. You know what I mean? That's another thing that the sheriff had mentioned when he was talking. You know, this is the exception. Mentally ill people rarely attack other people like this. So then that makes me think it's more so maybe racially motivated, because a lot of the mass shootings that we've seen lately are racially motivated.
Well, the ones that get publicized.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But
there's so many. I mean, I saw some stat. It was like 258 mass shootings. Like, as publicized as all of them are, I definitely haven't read into 258 of them. You know, it just, because the racially motivated ones happen to be more interesting because of the political climate, those are the ones that get the attention.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. He was denied bail, and that was in July. So I don't know when his trial is set for, but obviously we will do an update episode.
Yeah, this all happened so recently. I mean, we just finished the summer. We just started fall, and this happened in the beginning of summer. So,
So we will do another episode update when we hear more from him, or more from the.
He took having a hot boy summer too far.
And also, babe, if you hear anything from your sources in Louisiana or whatever, then maybe we can have like an interview or something.
Yeah, Wojnowski hit me up. My sources. No, I will. I mean, do you want me to tell the two stories that I've heard? I guarantee I can find someone that like either like roomed with him. But so the two stories that I heard of, I mean, they're not necessarily just like, oh, he's gonna be a murderer, but there was one that. So they when you're practicing, obviously, like, you practice in kind of in the later part of the evening, and then you go home and you have school the next day, because you're an athlete and a student. So he left practice one night and he came back, and I can't remember if it's on his left arm or his right arm. He's a bigger guy, so got a lot of room to work with on your arm. But he got George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Benjamin Franklin tattooed on him, but it was like them as skeletons. Obviously, Abraham Lincoln had the hair and the top hat, but, like, it was, like, their skeleton versions of them, and then, like, in, like, little, like, circles, you know, almost like, you know, like, the cover, So it was a very, like, extensive tattoo, and just with the timing, it was almost like he left practice, like, go get it done, and it was very extensive, so, like, and then, like, came back the next day with it done, like, oh, look at this, like, look at this tattoo, and, like, was, like, showing it off to people, and people were like, yo, like, that's fucking weird. And they said, like, it wasn't even, like, a nice tattoo. It was, like, big, you know, it was, like, extensive work, but it was, like, a shitty fucking tattoo. And, like,
I can't see what his neck tattoos are in the pictures, because his beard's covering it, but I'm so curious to know, because he looks so fucking scary.
Yeah, he looks like a murderer, for sure.
He looks dead inside.
But that was, like, one of the first stories I had heard about. And my personal experience with him, we were at, like, a house party, in this, like, college apartment, and he didn't seem, like, weird or anything, you know, we were getting fucked up and stuff, but, like, he for sure, like, I do remember that, like, everyone was being social, and then it was, like, just him, you know, like, he was in the conversation, but, like, and I remember I was sitting, like, right next to him, too, like, on the couch, and I was, like, talking to him a little bit, because I remember his name's Sean Barrett, because there was a kind of a creepy kid, Michael Barrett, that I went to elementary school with, that.
What if he supports the podcast?
I mean, I imagine he probably has a similar opinion. I mean, the kid told me to kill myself when I was, like, 7. So, like, you gotta know, if you're a rational adult and you told another kid to kill himself when you're 7. Kid 2 probably thinks I'm weird, you know, rationally speaking. But, so second story with him was, so football, a lot of people don't know this, but it's very similar to baseball, where most of the coaches and players do, like, chewing tobacco, they dip, you know, and they, like, spit, and, you know, it's just very common, because you're in meeting rooms a lot of the day, so people just like to put a chaw in and do it. I think it's fucking disgusting. But anyways,
if you have that, like, addiction, it's like something in your, it's almost like any smoker.
Oh no, I get it. I mean, if it's like, if, believe me, if I could have rolled up a fat blunt and any of my dumbass fucking coaches were talking about some stupid ass shit, I would guarantee I'd love something to, like, take my mind off of it. So to each his own. But Sean himself also didn't dip, but he would buy, it's called like logs. It's like all the cans together in like a multi-pack. Mm-hmm. He would buy logs of chew, bring it with him to practice. So when people would ask for a chaw, he would have them be like, oh, bro, here you go. Like, here's some, but like never dipped himself. So like he would buy chewing tobacco to like
give it out
to like so people would like him, you know. So he like always had it like in his car, in his locker, but like never dipped. Always just like had it to give away to other people, which may sound like, oh, he's so nice, you know, he wants to be. No, like I've bought dip for other people, but I buy them the whole log and I'm like, here, you take it. Thank you so much for whatever you did for me.
You owe me this amount of money.
Exactly, you know, or I'm trying to like bribe the equipment manager to get some new underwear or something, you know. But that's that. I understand you like giving a gift to someone, but not to consistently buy a tobacco product.
Yeah.
To like, that's like going to a party and people like to smoke cigarettes at a party, and you're like that guy that just keeps cigarettes for other people. It's like, is there like ricin in this? Are you from Breaking Bad? Are you trying to kill me? Like, but no, seriously, like that's just. Obviously, none of those things together points to you being a murderer. It just happens that these people, like, they're just doing weird shit. Like, yeah. The people who are doing weird shit in your life, they're probably weird people. And that's not wrong, but I think everything together paints the picture. You talk about the Facebook post. You talk about the reasons why he was committed. Like, there was just so much there that...
Especially in the past 6 months.
Yeah, especially since this hot boy summer started. Like, he seriously should not... I don't know why he was let out. I don't understand necessarily the guidelines. I know if someone else admits you, if you admit yourself, there's different guidelines to when you can leave. But I'm just hard-pressed that, like, with all of the people who had a crack at stopping this kid, that all this should happen.
What upsets me, I think, is, of course, mental health is a crisis. I think in the United States, we need better solutions. But also, gun control. It's like, we need gun control. Like I've said this before, you're gonna get angry, you're gonna get mad, and if you have a gun, you're much more likely to use it when you're in the heat of the moment. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm not gonna debate you on gun control, but, I mean, someone who's been institutionalized like that, I'm not sure if it was his gun or his father's gun, I'm not 100% sure, but if he had gone through that stuff, he should not have been allowed to have a gun. And two, his parents, even if the gun wasn't registered to him and he got it from his father, if you have any kids, regardless of their mental background, especially if your son fucking is cradling himself back and forth with a cross in his mouth, you need to make sure all your guns are locked up safe. Like, this isn't, I'm not trying to make like a pro or not gun. Like, if you have a gun and you have children, you have relative, regardless, like, it needs to be properly stored, because there's just whatever way he got it, like, he shouldn't have had it. Like, he's just not, like, there are people who have guns and they don't do this. Like,
speaking of that, actually, this is a perfect example. My ex had a mental disorder and his family had a gun and they had it locked and they would not give him the code, and that's exactly how it was supposed to be.
You shouldn't. Like,
that's healthy. That is a normal thing. Like, if you want to have a gun, fine, have a fucking gun. You don't need a rifle, you don't need an automatic gun, but lock it up. You know what I mean? And if you have a history of mental illness, or if your kid does, then you need to especially be on that and, like, especially lock it up.
Right. That's why I blame the parents with this, regardless of who got the weapon, how he got the weapon. He did this shit. He had the 12-day grace period and then did this shit again. Like, it's inexcusable. Like, these murderers are being raised by shitty parents. Like, obviously, some of them have a genetic disorder or whatnot that makes them predisposed to doing stuff like this, but even if that's the case, like, you need to love your kid and pay attention to what the fuck they're doing, especially if, because he's living with his parents, he's obviously showed that he does not have the ability to live by himself. And if that's the case, I'm sorry if he's a juxtaposition in your life. You brought someone into this world that has the power to kill someone who was the defender of their neighborhood, kill someone who has 13 children, widow, completely wipe out the parental figure for 13 people and cause terror over a 3-mile stretch of Louisiana. Like, you as a parent, while you didn't pull the trigger and do this shit, like, you raised the person who did it and you allowed him to do it. So that's my tea.
That's my tea. Yeah, I feel for that family, because I'm sure that they are getting a lot of shit, because I'm sure that they know.
I don't ever feel bad for the fucking parents of these people who get shit. Like, you raised a murderer, like, you deserve it. Like, if you have soft skin because your son raped a girl, like, you raised a rapist. Like, that's on you. Like, that's almost just on you as it is your son. So I never feel bad for the family. I'll feel bad for their cousins who weren't involved at all. But the parents, brothers and sisters, like, all y'all fucked up. All of y'all deserve it. All the gas. 91 premium. All gas, no brakes.
Yikes. Yeah. Well, that is all the information that I was able to find and that we have currently on Sean. We will do an update and let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you think. And please subscribe to our podcast.
And our Patreon.
XOXO.
The crime couple. Insert pug snorts.
Actually, I do want to add the pug snorts on here.